Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast for November 13th, 2024. I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. FIA has announced six new inductees for its 2025 Hall of Fame to be honored at the 50th International Futures Industry Conference in Boca Raton, Florida, from March 9th to 12th, 2025. The honorees include Mark Bajan, former CEO of MGEX and MIAX executive, posthumous, Laura Cha, former chair of HKEX, Terry Duffy, chairman and CEO of CME Group, Jeff Sprecher, founder and CEO of Intercontinental Exchange, U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow, chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, and Don Wilson, founder and CEO of DRW. The FIA Hall of Fame, established in 2005, celebrates individuals from both private and public sectors who have significantly impacted listed and clear derivatives markets. Congratulations to all these very deserving members and welcome. Should someone tie an anchor to Don Wilson's ankles so he does not float away, being called the smartest man in trading and named to the FIA Hall of Fame in the same week, and Bitcoin hitting all-time highs, is not a bad week at all. I have been remiss in reporting the passing on October 30th, 2024, of former CFTC Commissioner William Price Bill Albrecht, who was a Democratic commissioner appointed by President Reagan in 1988 and served until 1993. He was appointed acting chairman on January 22, 1993, and quit suddenly on August 20, 1993, to be replaced by Sheila Bair. He would be memorable to Chicago traders as the acting CFTC chairman who led the CFTC during a unanimous ruling that found that 22 members of the Chicago Board of Trade were innocent of prearranged trading related to charges brought in 1996 related to a type of trade known as a Ginzi. Though this case was initiated in 1986, after the FBI sting, the CFTC brought charges against the traders. This brought howls of politics from some of the accused, as the CFTC was upstaged by the FBI, the Chicago Tribune reported at the time. An attorney on the other side of the CFTC in the Ginzi case was William Nissen, the focus of a John Lothian Profiles video we shot months ago. The whole interview is about 40 minutes long, so we broke it up into four pieces and have published the first piece in today's JLN. In part one, Nissen talks about the Ginzi case towards the end of the video. You can see part one with the link in today's newsletter. The case followed an earlier enforcement action in which traders were fined for prearranged trading. In this subsequent case, in which Nissen was involved, a broker would consistently place orders for a client and then immediately place opposite orders for the same quantity, effectively creating a half-tick trade. About 20 local traders regularly made markets for this broker. Unlike the previous case, there was no evidence or allegation of prearrangement. The pattern had simply developed over time. The CFTC brought action against the broker and locals, arguing that the trade structure was inherently non-competitive, even without prearrangement. The Chicago Board of Trade had examined the practice and decided not to take action. The Chicago Board of Trade's general counsel testified on behalf of the defendants. Ultimately, the administrative law judge ruled in favor of the locals and the broker, concluding that without prior arrangement, the trades could not be deemed non-competitive, despite the resulting half-tick effect. India's National Stock Exchange, NSE, is ending weekly options contracts on the Nifty Bank Index, which helped make India the world's largest options market by trading volume, Bloomberg reported. This move is part of regulatory efforts to curb excessive growth in equity derivatives, which surged over 40 times in 5 years, with peak trading reaching $6 trillion in notional value. The Securities and Exchange Board of India introduced restrictions limiting exchanges to one weekly option each, aiming to shift household investments from speculative trading back to the economy. NSE's Nifty 50 weeklies and BSE's Sensex weeklies will continue, but Nifty Bank weeklies, once a popular hedging tool, will end, likely reducing derivatives trading volume and impacting exchanges and brokers. Traders are expected to redirect activity to monthly contracts and single stock options, although some volume may be lost. The U.S. Department of the Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or FinCEN, has issued an alert to financial institutions regarding fraud schemes involving deep fake media created with generative AI tools. The alert provides typologies, red flag indicators, and reminds institutions of their reporting obligations under the Bank Secrecy Act. FinCEN Director Andrea Gacki emphasized the need for vigilance as bad actors increasingly use deepfakes for fraud, particularly with fake identity documents to bypass verification processes. This alert is part of the Treasury's broader initiative to inform institutions about the risks and benefits of AI technology in combating financial crime. I guess I need to show Waters Technology some love today. For 2 days only, on November 13th and 14th, Waters Technology will unlock premium articles for non-subscribers, allowing access to exclusive coverage and insights on capital markets. During this period, readers can explore in-depth analysis, recent developments, and interviews, including articles like FactSet Unveils Data as a Service Offering, DORA Stalls Over Identifier Dispute, Bloomberg Ups Focus on Quants Intraday, Private Markets Data Quality Problem, and Why Are Banks Building More Than Buying? Save the dates to take advantage of this opportunity. Registration is now open for the George Mason Law Review's 28th Annual Antitrust Symposium, titled Antitrust Cornucopia, AI, Ad Tech, Content Moderation, and What's Next, on February 21st, 2025, at the Fairmont, Washington, D.C., in Georgetown. This year's symposium will examine key issues at the intersection of antitrust and technology, including the Justice Department's antitrust case against Google in ad tech, AI innovation and copyright law, content moderation challenges under Section 230, and the EU's Digital Services Act and priorities for antitrust agencies under the next administration. FTC Commissioner Melissa Holyoke will deliver the closing address. There was a typo in my rant about Purdue football. The Purdue-IU game is on November 30th, not November 60th. Not sure where that typo happened or was not caught. One of my favorite memories from my college years was having a winning football team. Of Purdue's 5 winning seasons in the last 25 during the time I was in college, 4 of them came when I was at Purdue. One of the highlights every year was playing Notre Dame, then led by Jerry Faust, who just died at the age of 89, the New York Times reports in a story titled Jerry Faust, coach who lived a dream at Notre Dame dies at 89. I spent 4.5 years at Purdue, earning 2 bachelor degrees. I had the pleasure of staying 1 extra fall and seeing Purdue beat Notre Dame and Faust 1 last time in the fall of 1983. Here are the headlines from in front of FOW's paywall from some recent stories. India may be biggest winner as Trump targets China, Nomura. Britannia hires Welsh to run metals amid commodities drive. Analysis, Euronext chief Buzhna eyes opportunity in European derivatives. And analysis, European post-trade efforts would help retail traders, SIBO. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JLN Options were, have the odds for new exchanges to be successful improved, from Joe's Garage. An Option Trader's Guide to Election Day Fallout from Schaefer's Investment Research. And Bitcoin ETFs are a hot Trump trade. How to pick the best ones from Barron's. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a sponsored content message from our friends at JPX. FIA Forum Tokyo 2024 held at JPX. Together with FIA and FIA Japan, OSE successfully hosted the FIA Tokyo Forum on October 10th, 2024 at the Tokyo Stock Exchange. The event welcomed over 220 attendees representing more than 100 companies. The program opened with remarks from Mr. Nakaso, chairman of FinCity Tokyo, and Mr. Yokoyama, president and CEO of OSE. These introductions were followed by 2 engaging panel discussions and an insightful address from Mr. Ito, commissioner of the Financial Services Agency. During the panel discussions, industry leaders from global exchanges and brokerages shared their perspectives on the Japanese market and their development plans. They also explored practical applications of OSE's recent innovations in the interest rates market, including the newly launched 3-month TONA futures. Mr. Kazuhisa Kakazaki, Executive Officer of OSE Tokam, joined a panel to discuss JPX's product advancements. He highlighted developments such as the 3-month TONA futures, Tokam electricity futures, and the revival of the single stock options market. For further details, please refer to a link in today's newsletter. Here's part 1 of that Bill Nissen video. The legal mind behind futures industry landmarks. Bill Nissen, an attorney, started in the world of futures and derivatives law, helping Hinehold Commodities collect customer trading debits back at a time when risk management in the futures industry was less developed than today. That early work for one of the largest retail futures brokers spawned a career in futures and derivatives law that has seen him participate in some of the biggest cases. Nissen talked to JLN for this John Lothian Profiles interview about his career and the cases that made it. And then here's Futures Discovery, Episode 14. Equity Index Futures, Futures Discovery, Episode 14. Today, we're diving into the intricate world of equity index futures, a topic that can shape the flow of your futures trading journey. Equity index futures are financial contracts that allow traders to speculate on the future value of an underlying equity index, such as the S&P 500, NASDAQ 100, or Dow Jones Industrial Average. These contracts are not just numbers. They represent the pulse of the market and can significantly impact your trading strategies. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. The headline, Citi panel okays $98 million LaSalle Street TIF subsidy. Chicago taxpayers are a step closer to giving developers $98 million to help revive one of LaSalle Street's biggest office buildings with 386 apartments, a grocer, and a parking garage after a city panel overseeing the subsidy signed off on the plan. The Chicago Community Development Commission today approved the tax increment financing money for a $241 million redevelopment of the landmark tower at 135 South LaSalle Street. The proposal for the former Bank of America office building from a joint venture of Chicago-based developers Riverside Investment and Development and DL3 Realty and New York-based AmTrust RE is the fifth and largest project to emerge from the LaSalle Street Reimagine program launched in 2022 by former Mayor Lori Lightfoot. The approval for the mayoral appointed committee clears the city to negotiate a redevelopment agreement with the developers that would govern other city panels, such as the Chicago Plan Commission and Commission on Chicago Landmarks, before going to the City Council for a final review. If they get those green lights and line up construction financing for the project, the developers estimate they could begin work in July and complete redevelopment by April of 2027. My comment, it will take a lot of private money to make that $98 million city money work, and if it does not come through, this TIF might be a taxpayer infrastructure fantasy. Here's another story. This one is also from Crane Chicago Business. The headline, Ken Griffin sells two floors of Walton Street for $19 million. Ken Griffin, the billionaire head of the Citadel Financial Empire who moved to Florida last year, sold two of his unfinished floors, one of which has a rooftop pool, today for a combined $19 million. Griffin sold the 37th floor at number 9 Walton for $9 million and the 38th at its pool level for $10 million. Although they went on the market and off at separate times, it appears likely that both units went to the same buyer, not only because the sales closed on the same day, but because the buyers in both deals were represented by the same agent, Catherine Malkin of Compass. My comment, Ken Griffin still has two floors below. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, merger trading will get easier. Also, some bad FTX loans, a late greenwashing case, and Fed chair precedents from Matt Levine. Armageddon. I guess there are two ways of thinking about merger arbitrage as a hedge fund strategy. One is merger arbitrage is a bet on which mergers will close. If you are a merger arbitrageur, your job is to look at merger deals that are announced, figure out how likely they are to actually close, and then bet money on the ones that the market underprices. Company X is trading at $35 per share and then announces that it has signed a merger agreement to be bought by Company Y for $50 a share. The stock trades up to $46 a share. You look at the deal and think, this deal is ironclad. There are no regulatory problems. It will definitely close in 6 months, and I can make 8.7% in 6 months by buying today at $46 and closing at $50. You are playing a game of skill against other traders trying to buy the deals that will close and avoid or short the deals that won't. In reality, nothing is certain, so you will try to pick the deals where you think the probability is good and the reward, the spread between the deal price and the current stock price, is worth the risk. Matt Levine uses the word Armageddon, which I made the word of the day the other day, though I spelled it A-R-B-A-G-E-D-D-O-N, which seems to be the common spelling of this made-up word. I created a Markets Wiki page for the word, which you can see with the click on the link. Matt spelled it with A-R-B-A-G-G-E-D-O-N. Here are the top three stories from Tuesday's GLN. Our top clicked item on Tuesday was the registration page for the FIA Futures and Options Expo taking place in Chicago from November 18th through 20th at the Chicago Grand Riverwalk. Second was the registration page for the GFLC Reimagined, the Global Financial Leadership Conference, taking place November 18th and 19th in Naples, Florida. Third was the registration page for the World Federation of Exchanges annual meeting November 19th to 21st in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. Here's that lead story I mentioned earlier. FIA announces 2025 Hall of Fame inductees. FIA has announced the names of six new members of the FIA Hall of Fame. The new members will be honored at an awards ceremony during FIA's 50th International Futures Industry Conference in Boca Raton, Florida, on the 9th to the 12th of March 2025. Quote, "We established the FIA Hall of Fame to recognize the people who have made exceptional contributions to the growth and development of the listed and cleared derivatives industry," unquote, said FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan. Quote, "The 2025 group of inductees have provided exceptional leadership, wisdom, and vision to propel our industry forward. We are honored to present them with this recognition," unquote. The following leaders will join the 2025 Hall of Fame: Mark Bagan, MGX CEO and MIAX executive, who's being honored posthumously, Laura Cha, former chair HKEX, Terry Duffy, chairman and CEO of CME Group, Jeff Sprecher, founder, chair, and CEO of Intercontinental Exchange, Debbie Stabenow, U.S. Senator from Michigan, chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, and Don Wilson, founder and CEO of DRW. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, Eurex delays EU bond futures and blow to block. Exchange says it needs certainty over new debt beyond 2026. ICE has just announced plans to launch futures next month. Europe's largest bond futures exchange has postponed the introductions of a futures contract tied to European Union debt, a blow to the bloc's aims to boost trading in its bonds. Eurex AG, which originally planned a launch this year, told Bloomberg that a key prerequisite for such a product is that the EU bond program becomes sustainable and of a long-term nature beyond 2026. It didn't specify when the decision will be made, saying it needs more time to make assessments. And then here's one more story. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, a drug gang stole 3 tons of gold in a scam so perfect it's still going. Miners are plundering one of the biggest motherlodes of gold in Latin America, led by gunmen who seized tunnels from a Chinese mining giant. Some 700 yards deep in Colombia's richest gold mine, private security guards crouched behind sandbags, trapped in a failing battle with a drug trafficking gang that has commandeered 30 miles of tunnels worth hundreds of millions of dollars. The air below ground is hot, humid, and sometimes toxic, and the work is dangerous, defending claustrophobic passageways against tossed explosives and gunfire from AK-47 assault rifles. 2 guards were killed and several others wounded last year. On the other side, braving their own dangers are an estimated 2,000 illegal miners. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform upon which you access this podcast. Your reviews play a crucial role in introducing our content to new listeners. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email yet, you can get a 90-day subscription by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.